Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Hebrews chapter 5, so if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to that. So Hebrews, it's a letter that was written to the Jewish Christians. It was a letter written really just to remind the Jews, the Jewish Christians, that Jesus, he was greater than the priests and the prophets that had gone before them. And then what they did was, the writer of Hebrews, he pulled bits together from the Old Testament, and using the Old Testament references, he looked at that just to prove to the Jewish Christians, listen, Jesus is who he says he is, that Jesus is the great high priest, and that Jesus is the ultimate expression and plan of God's love for mankind. The Hebrews writer is basically saying to the Jewish Christians, listen, Jesus is the one and only perfect man for the job. Funny things, jobs, aren't they? Because you have to fill in a CV. You have to kind of write down all your qualifications. And I'm sure for some of you, if you wrote down, you filled in your CV, your qualifications are pretty good. You kind of look at that and think, wow, look at what I've done there. Look at those skills there. I'm okay with some of my qualifications. I look at some of them and I think, ooh, that should have been a bit better. My kids don't know about some of the A-levels that I failed. But, oh yeah, you do now. Where is she sat? She's somewhere. So qualifications. It's important we have the right qualifications for the right job. So I have a music degree. But if I wanted to be a brain surgeon, as great as a music degree is, guess what? That's the wrong qualification. I don't think any of you would want me kind of doing surgery on your brain just because I've got a music degree. I think, well, you know, music degree is pretty tricky. It's the hard thing to do. But it's not quite the right qualification. There's a CV going to come up now on the screen. And this is a CV written to Cadbury's. A strange one, I will admit. And in fact, it was so strange that they actually wrote back to the person. The person was Mr. Jones. And this is what they wrote to him. They wrote, "We regret to inform you, Mr. Jones, that your application for the position of Global Quality Manager has been unsuccessful. We don't normally respond to unsuccessful applicants, but in your case, we've made an exception in order to return the £5 note you attached to the references section of your application under the line Elizabeth Wink Wink. Some notes regarding your application. One, listing super secret spy work I legally can't talk about as your previous experience won't fool anyone. Two, in future, you might want to refrain from using sentences like, come on, let me be a part of this awesome gig you've got going on. Three, eBay feedback isn't a relevant reference. And your attached sketch of an everlasting chocolate bar was unwarranted, absurd, and quite frankly, it scared us a little." All right, so you need the right qualifications for the right job. And the writer of Hebrews, as he's putting this book together, as he's talking about who Jesus is to the Jewish Christians, he's asking a similar question. Is Jesus really qualified for the role of our perfect high priest? Is Jesus really qualified? If he is who he says he is, what are his qualifications? The Bible talks and tells us about early sacrifices. We had sacrifice in the Bible as early as Abel and his brother Cain. Noah offered sacrifices, didn't he, after the flood? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob regularly built altars and offered sacrifices to God. When Moses was leader of Israel, Aaron and his descendants, they were appointed by God, weren't they, to be priests, to offer sacrifices, to offer sacrifices on behalf of themselves for their sins and on behalf of the people. And so these rituals and sacrifices were incorporated into the life of Israel. And there are quite a few qualifications that are needed in order to be a priest. And so chapter 5 of Hebrews tells us some of these qualifications. And as we read it, we see that not only does Jesus fulfill this qualification, his qualification goes further than the earthly priests. And it concludes with that Jesus is the perfect high priest. So, chapter 5 in your Bibles. Right, here we go. Every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He presents their gifts to God and offers sacrifices for their sins. And he's able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. That is why, this is the earthly priests, he must offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as theirs. And no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He must be called by God for his work, just as Aaron was. That is why Christ did not honor himself as by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, "You are my son, today I've become your father." And in another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus' first qualification was that he was made perfect through suffering. Hebrews 2:10 tells us that in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. In other words, Jesus became the perfect leader through his suffering. The Bible calls him the pioneer, the one who went first. Jesus made a trail for others to follow through his suffering. And he's returned to heaven now, and he's opened up a way so that we can, what? Follow him there. But the trail isn't an easy one, and it's often painful. And Jesus, the perfect high priest, he can perfectly identify with each of us on that. Verse 7 says, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings and with loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. Jesus, at that point of time in Gethsemane, he was suffering, he was pleading, he was praying. And when we go through stuff, Jesus can identify with it because he has gone through it before us. And several of the characters in the Bible, as we read through the Bible, we can see how through their suffering, as they went through it, God brought them through it, because as they went through it, God had things for them the other side. We see that Joseph, he was sold into slavery, faced accusations, and even suffered jail time in order that he would be put in the right place at the right time so that God could use him to rescue the people. David, he had the call of God on his life, yet he spent part of his life hiding from King Saul, who wanted to destroy him and kill him. But through that suffering, a heart after God was developed in David. Peter, that he did the very thing that he claimed he would never do. He deserted Jesus and he denied knowing him when the going got tough. The Bible tells us that he returned to fishing shortly after Jesus' death. But through it, Jesus showed him God's heart for restoration, and Peter became a pillar in the early church. And you and I, as we go through life, there will be times when suffering comes to our door. Sometimes suffering happens because of our bad choices. And sometimes it's because of the circumstances life throws at us. But if we allow God into our suffering, through it, he can help us to become more like Jesus. He grows us and he matures us in our faith. Romans chapter 5, it'll come up on the screen behind, verses 3 to 5 says this. It just reminds us of how we're matured through suffering. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And when we go through suffering, it is good to be reminded that because Jesus has gone through suffering before us, he can help you and he can help me in my suffering also. And that is his perfect love to us. And as we go through our suffering, if we allow God to work through us, to grow us and mature us, we can illustrate his perfect love and help others and empathize with others who find themselves in areas of crisis. So Jesus, first qualification, he was made our perfect high priest, the Bible tells us, through his suffering. The second qualification was that Jesus was made perfect through submission. Hebrews reminds us that Jesus was fully God, and he was fully man. In fact, in order to qualify as the perfect high priest, Jesus had to put on flesh. That's why Jesus had to be born as a baby into this world. And as Jesus followed the events of his life up to his arrest and up to his death, Jesus had to learn how to respond and be obedient to God's calling. Philippians 2 on the screen behind me says this, though he was God, this is talking about Jesus, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus was perfect because he filled God's perfect love and commitment to us. When he submitted his will in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he submitted his will to his Father and followed him through to dying on a cross, Jesus was perfect. And through his obedience, Hebrews tells us that Jesus became the source of salvation for all those who obey him. Why was it important that Jesus obeyed God as a man? Jesus was fully God, so he didn't have to learn how to obey. He didn't have to learn that as fully God. But as fully man, Jesus had to learn the experience of obedience. In the life of Jesus, we read that Jesus obeyed his earthly father and mother. He obeyed in ordinary life. He obeyed God when no one else was around. He obeyed God to death on a cross. Every decision he made was based upon what God wanted him to do. And it was important that Jesus just didn't talk about obedience, but that he put it into practice. His suffering was for us. And so the writer of Hebrews is showing us that when we have to face those decisions of choosing to obey and stay in a relationship of submission to God, we can draw on help from Jesus, who understands and has accomplished it, because Jesus has already been through it. Jesus, because he was made perfect through his suffering, he was made perfect through his submission to God. Jesus' third qualification was that he became our source of salvation. One of the main functions, I've already said, for the Old Testament priests was to prepare the sacrifices for the sins of themselves and the people in the temple. The priests had to do sacrifices for themselves first because they were flawed human beings. And there's no way that they could offer up sacrifices for the people without having their own sins forgiven first. But Hebrews reminds us that with Jesus, it was very different. Being fully God and fully man, Jesus was tempted and tested in every way that we are, the Bible tells us, and yet he did not sin. Jesus was without sin. Jesus didn't have to offer up sacrifices for his sin because he didn't sin. And Jesus didn't have to offer up sacrifices for our sin because he became the sacrifice. And so when Jesus rose up from the dead, his resurrection demonstrated that he was not a priest like Aaron and his descendants. Jesus perfectly fulfilled his purpose. He fulfilled every qualification in order that we would be saved. He became the very last priest and sacrifice that we would ever need to be forgiven and set free from our sin. There's a picture going to come up behind me. It's from a story called The Man and the Birds. It's the story of a man who refused to attend a Christmas Eve service with his family because he just could not get over the fact that this Jesus, who obviously did a lot of good and was very kind, that he was also the Son of God, that he was fully God. And so the story goes that he remained at home and it began to snow. Minutes later, he heard what he thought was someone throwing snowballs against his window. Going outside to investigate, he found some birds trying to fly through his window as they sought refuge from the storm. He thought that they might find shelter in his barn, and so he made his way there. He opened the doors and turned on the light, but the birds stayed outside. He created a trail of breadcrumbs for them to follow into the barn, but that did not work. He tried to shoo them into the barn, but that effort also proved unsuccessful. If only, he thought, if only I could become a bird myself for a few minutes, perhaps I could lead them to safety. At that moment, he heard the church bells in the distance begin to ring. The man sank to his knees in the snow. "Now I understand, God," he whispered. "Now I see why you had to become a man." Our world is broken. Suffering, it challenges our faith. And some suffering can even sometimes make us question the goodness of God. And so to be the priest we needed, Jesus, the Son of God, had to become fully man to experience the pain, the grief, the poverty, the betrayal, the temptation, birth and death, all the extremes of our human condition. And he had to overcome it all. And that's what makes him the perfect high priest. Because he knows and he understands our weaknesses. When we follow Jesus and we trust him as our Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that we are born again, that the Spirit of God comes alive inside of us. But we will only begin to grow in our maturity when we put that identity of who we are into practice. That maturity of our faith happens when we apply our faith to every area of our life. When we put our faith into practice in the middle of our trials and temptations, it proves that it's real. And these situations and circumstances, they complete and mature the character of faith in our lives. But you and I, we can't do that in our own strength. It's by the Spirit of God living inside of us. And just as Jesus put on flesh and taught us through his words and actions, we are to do the same. As followers of Jesus, we're called to reveal Jesus by how we live, how we use our words, how we respond to things, how we go about stuff, how we talk about people, how we respond when that suffering hits our family, when it hits things that were, you know, in our circumstances, in our workplaces, how we respond in those moments. Because, you know, there are always people watching. And how we respond in those times can really speak about the transformation that Jesus has made and is doing in you. And you know, the great thing is that if we ever come up short, Jesus, the great high priest, is faithful to forgive us and to help us and to restore us and to guide us through. Final bit I'm going to read to us is Hebrews chapter 7, and it just finishes off this bit lovely. Just listen to these words. Remember I said at the start how the writer in Hebrews is asking, is Jesus, is he really qualified to come fully through as the great high priest for us? This is what Hebrews 7:26 says. He's the kind of high priest we need, because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those of the high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once and for all when he offered himself as the sacrifice for the people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made the perfect high priest forever. Jesus, we thank you tonight that you are our perfect high priest. Yes. That you are not one who has lived and has died, but you are one who has lived, you have died, and you have been raised to life. Lord, thank you that you have made a way, that you are now in heaven. Lord, you are at the right hand of the Father, and that, Lord, you have made a way for us to join you there. Lord, I thank you that you see our weaknesses, you see when we get it right, you see when we get it wrong, Lord, but you are there and you have still made a way for us. Lord, thank you, God, that you walked it out first, that you showed us how to do it. Lord, and I pray for every single one of us here tonight, Lord, that we will live our lives in the light of knowing of who you are and what you have done. Lord, when we come to those choices, when we face hard times, Lord, I pray, help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to look to you for our strength, for our guidance, for our wisdom, for the way we are to react to things. Holy Spirit, I pray, come alive again in our hearts. Everything we say, every move we make, every time we breathe and act something out, Holy Spirit, I pray, let us ooze Jesus in all that we say and do. You are our perfect high priest. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are to us. Amen. 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 Amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.